As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your favoriteest, showest, everest, Under the Radar, part of the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It is the middle of October. Halloween is in the air. And I'm here with my two best friends in the whole wide world, Mr. Ian Khan.
Hello, my friends.
Mr. Darren Ryber.
I feel honored. I didn't realize I was one of your two best friends.
Two of my best friends, I think I said.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's not parse words. You guys, fine. You're my two best friends. Who cares?
There you go. Two of my best friends. Yeah, actually, you guys are two of my best friends. Go. I'm good with that.
There you go.
There you go. Right. Yeah. And I've got a little rhubarb going.
You showed us that on video. That's a pint glass of the rhubarb fraise.
Well, you know what I did? I did a little bit of rhubarb fraise, a lot of bit of ice, and then a good amount of water.
No pineapple juice?
No pineapple juice. No, nothing like that.
You'd be running low, huh?
The rhubarb is really like, it's very thick. It's like syrupy. So like adding the water does the trick.
I never thought of that. I just take it straight with some ice cubes.
Yeah, that's nice too. But I wanted to have it for the whole show. And since we're doing a Nando, Derek, Ian after dark.
Yes, that's right.
I wanted to make sure that we had enough.
Thank you guys. I'm taking Wednesday off and you were kind enough to move it to the night before for me. Mm. And it's breaking news. Ian's other podcast is back.
Yes, I am. It is back. Patrick Murray and I, Guardians of the Republic, we were just catching each other on the phone for like 45 minutes at a time and talking about what was going on. And then we would just go, we should have just taped that. And then we got Justin Mason, who reached out to us and said, when is the show coming back? And so I called up Justin after reaching out to DVR, but then I called up Justin and said, hey, you know, you owe me. I mean, you're the reason we're going to do it. And I said, you want to produce it? He said, absolutely. I'd be thrilled. So he's producing it for us. And we're back. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know how long we'll be back. It will not be a weekly show. It got to feel like work, and now it'll just be more fun.
But I mean, there's only 4 weeks until the election anyway, right? So why not do it weekly? You should be doing it daily.
Yeah, there was a moment. There was actually a moment over the weekend. I was like, man, we got to get back and talk about this. But it's good. You know, for the people who like listening to that show, it's fun. And for the people who like listening to this show is fun.
Well, check it out. I listened to it. It was good. It's informative and smart. And
oh, thanks,
it's
man.
Not like, thanks, it, yeah, it didn't seem like, I mean, I think you can kind of tell which way Ian leans, but it's not like in your face leaning one way or the other, which was nice.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. And Patrick is the, I mean, look, I'm there.
Okay, look, don't worry about it, man. No.
He's the star of the show. I'm sort of just there partnered with him.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, he's the number one pollster in America. So having his insight is the key, I think, to why it's worth having a show.
And meanwhile, you get to do whatever we got a rant coming today. Maybe two. Who knows?
Nah, just one.
And then just a bunch of incoherent things next to numbers down here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm just messing with you. They're coherent.
Yeah, yeah. I just, I definitely have one thing that I want to say.
Is it number four, Jason Collette? Because all it says is four, Jason Collette.
Yeah, because, you know, our man Jason Collette, he's a very happy man right now. I mean, the dude is over the moon. And, like, I don't remember the last time he's been this happy. He's healthy. He hasn't been in the hospital.
I was going to say, it's about time he breaks an arm or something, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So like, he hasn't torn any ACLs or anything like this. He hasn't broken his arm. And his Rays are dominating. So it's a good time to be Jason Collette.
Ian, did you end up buying any of those Topps Now cards? I kept sending you links. Well, I sent you one link at least.
Listen, that picture it just wasn't a good, I didn't like what they took.
Right. Fair enough.
Because it wasn't even him swinging. It was like him being done with a swing. I didn't understand.
Was that the Brousseau one that I sent you? Or was it the Giancarlo home run?
It was the Giancarlo one. I didn't see the Brousseau one.
I sent you guys the Brousseau one.
Did you?
I don't know. I don't know what I do on an hour-to-hour basis these days.
It's not fun. I mean, the Brousseau is just nasty. Anyway,
all right. So here's what we got. We got an email. You can keep sending them to us. fantasypods@theathletic.com, and you can throw whatever you want in the subject line. If it's weird, they'll know it's coming to us. So be weird, please. And also, a lot of stuff. We've got to finish the challenge, the stats challenge.
That was fun.
I mean, we could do, I mean, well, here, so up to you, DVR, actually. You've been silent. Do you want to start with Ian's crazy stuff, or do you want to go with the stats challenge, or we can do both and kind of weave them in? It's your call.
Let's start with the stats challenge.
Absolutely.
And then there'll be a moment, probably organically, for the rant to unfurl.
Quote unquote organically.
I don't even know if it's going to be a rant, man. It's just going to be a note. We'll be noting something.
So it's a 3-3 tie. We left a 3-3 tie after the pitch.
This is so
round.
Exciting. I can't wait. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is fun.
Yeah. DVR, massive comeback stage with the three pitchers who had a K per nine above 10 and a ground out ratio above 150. So 1.50 it was. So let's go into the hitters. I saved the hitters for today. I got six hitter questions. They're going to be very hard. So get excited.
Okay.
All right. 13 players in this shortened 2020 season had 10 or more steals. Only one wasn't caught. Can you name that player? And I'll gladly give clues, but if you guys just want to guess, you know, feel free.
Oof. God, I'm not even sure I could pick the 13.
Yeah, it's a motley crew.
That had over 10 steals. 13.
Yes, there were 13 of them who had over 10 steals.
There was one. I remember seeing it. And did he have 10 steals exactly?
This player had 12 steals exactly. Okay. Zero caught stealings. In fact, I'll even do this. Last year, he had 8 steals. Zero caught stealings.
Whoa.
I think I might have a guess on this one.
Oh, man.
I think I'm ready.
All right. Go ahead. Please shout it out. There's no. This is not gentlemanly at all.
All right, is it Tim LoCastro?
It is not Tim LoCastro.
Whew, golly.
I don't know if he's ever been caught stealing a base.
I can look that up. I have this wonderful box here that I can just put his name into.
But maybe the numbers are flipped. He might not have got 10 this year, but he might have had 10 last year.
Right. Tim LoCastro, wow, 17 steals last year, zero caught stealings. 4 the year before, 0. This year he had 4 zero caught stealings. I feel like we can give you 0.5 for that.
Yes.
I have
all
a
right,
guess.
Ian. Okay.
Manuel Margot.
It is not.
Damn.
I give you some hints. This guy plays in the National League.
Okay.
Center fielder. 27 years old. Second round draft picked in the 2011 MLB June amateur draft.
I'm going to throw another name out there.
Yeah.
Roman Quinn?
It's Roman Quinn.
Hey.
Nice.
Roman Quinn, 12 very steals, nice. Zero caught stealings this year. Only hit 213 this year and last year. I don't know if there's much more impressive he's on the really? Go ahead, please. This is the reason we're bringing him up, is to talk about him.
Roman Quinn. I owned him. I picked him up in a couple of leagues, in dynasty leagues, because he if we think back to 3-4 years ago, you know, remember when Billy Hamilton was supposed to be like the game changer of all game changers?
Yeah.
And he just never turned into it. And then we've got Malik Smith this year, and he was such a bomb, right? And it was sort of like, who's going to be the next Billy Hamilton before it became clear that Billy Hamilton was useless? And Roman Quinn was always on that list. And then watching him play this year, here's what I saw. Girardi liked him. When Girardi had the opportunity to play him, he did play him. And then I think he had a concussion. Is that right? Like, did he get he got some weird injury that kind of – no, it was a concussion because, like, he was supposed to be on the 7-day IL, but then he ended up coming back sooner. It was either that or he was sick and they thought it was COVID. It was something like that. And he really was a really good fantasy player. Like, he was very, very valuable. In the Devil's Rejects League that I share with Wilson Karaman, there was a player that – He's one of the guys that we're considering keeping in our top 28. That's it.
Like as a like projecting him as a pinch running source of steals?
No, I think, I mean, projecting him as a starting center fielder for the Phillies and who can steal you 40 bases in a full season. I mean, let me look this up here. So Roman Quinn.
I mean, no, I think that number's right. I think you're, yeah, I think you're right with the projection. I don't know if you're right about him starting in center field for the Phillies though.
Yeah, maybe not, but he's in 108 at-bats, he had 12 stolen bases. I mean, that's pretty remarkable if you look at that.
There are only 13 players who had 10 or more. He had 12.
And he had the least number of at-bats.
33.6% K rate this year, though. That's
How's his defense, DVR?
Kind of just average defense, I think. And the underlying numbers, like the StatCast numbers this year weren't good. They were better in the past, so maybe that's a bit of an aberration, but he's always struck out quite a bit. 28.2% now over 450 big league plate appearances. 35 steals, though, and he has non-zero power. But, wow, that's a really deep league. So a category specialist could be rostered in a league like that. But he's been 20% below a league average hitter.
All I know is that I remembered seeing him in the lineup in times when I went, oh, Girardi likes him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And Girardi's got those quirks. He had him with the Yankees, too.
But then he had this one game where he just struck out six times. He was up six times on the 18th of September against the Toronto Blue Jays, and he was up seven times. He walked once and struck out six times and stole a base all in one game. It was like the most trash great game ever.
Man,
he runs, man. I mean, he runs. Like, he's the kind of guy that you keep on you can keep at the bottom of your roster. I don't know if you keep him based on this. I'm not sure I keep him as the 28th player because there's him or Cedric. What's his last name? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like already out of practice here.
Mullins. It's off season, man. It's cool. It's like we're wearing tie dyes and, you know, just hanging out.
Right. So Cedric Mullins is on the same team, right? So who would you guys keep as your 28th player, right? Would you keep Cedric Mullins or would you keep Roman Quinn?
I like Cedric Mullins.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to Cedric Mullins last. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, DVR. You probably had something much more insightful to say.
I also like Mullins because you're getting power to go with speed. Yeah. I think there's a little bit less of a likelihood that he's buried on the bench as more of a specialist. I think there's at least a chance the Orioles give him a chance to play almost every day, if not every day. So I think that's where I'm at. He's closer to a league average hitter based on what he was doing.
And he's still running. He had seven stolen bases on 140 at bats. And Tim McLeod, hey there, boo boo. That's going to be, you know, how we have James Anderson ding.
Really? Yeah, we understand that.
But because Tim McLeod is Yogi Bear. He is Yogi Bear. If you ever listen to his podcast, he's like, okay there, buddy. Oh, you know, and that's just how he is. So I always used to say that. And his partner, Rich Wilson, used to get really mad at me. Like, don't call him that. And I would say to Tim, do you mind when I call you that? He's like, no, I love it. I am. I'm kind of like Yogi Bear. So Tim McLeod, hey there, boo-boo. He was really hot on Cedric Mullins going into, I think it was 2019. And then he kind of just disappeared and did nothing. Remember, he like came up, he started, he hit like, you know, 120. For his first like 30 games, and they sent him back down.
Yeah, but he was doing that in the minors too. That was the weird part.
What was it like in the minors for him? I mean, did he?
I had him on teams, and I remember like what the, like usually you go down, you hit at least like 272 with like, you know, 20 home runs. But I think he was like in one of those he's got to be hurt super slumps. But they lasted for like 2 years.
Yeah, he was hitting 94 in 2019, literally 94.094. in 64 at bats. Yeah, that's right. And then he went down to the minors. So in 2020, he was just like a complete under the radar player. Like, doesn't get more under the radar than that. But then look what he did. And he had the job every day. Once Austin Hayes went out, Cedric Mullins came in. It was pretty impressive.
I'm looking up his minor league stats now because I just want to make sure I'm not crazy.
So, all right. So Mullins
2019
over
in Norfolk, 205 with five home runs.
What about 2017 and 16?
Are you looking at this to bring it up, or are you actually?
No, I'm asking. But you had him up, so.
All right. 2016, Delmarva, 14 home runs, 30 steals, 273 average.
That's pretty good.
2017 in Bowie, 13 home runs, 9 steals, 265 average. Oh, and then 2018, 12 home runs, 21 steals, 289 average.
All right.
He was young. He was, I mean, age differential, I'm on Baseball Reference, obviously. Age differential was like minus 2.2 years in 2017.
Look, those Baltimore Orioles in that ballpark, I like Orioles hitters. Not pitchers, but hitters. I really like them.
Yeah. It's the new Coors, man. Look at what Dylan Bundy did when he got out of there.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Who's the next?
John, but how does John Means pull it off then? That's what every time John Means pitches, he was good. In 2019, he was ridiculous, like really good. And then he comes back in 2020 after injury. And every time I looked, I was like, wow, look at John Means. I did it again. Oh my God, John Means, look at that.
Does he induce soft contact?
I mean, I'm going to look up John Means for 1 second. Yeah. I'm going to tell you. 43. I mean, no. I mean, his ERA was 4.53, but his whip was 0.98. 42 strikeouts in 43 innings. That's what I remember. He doesn't walk anybody, hardly. He walks 7 players in 43 innings.
And that's what will hurt you there, because if they hit solo home runs, aren't going to kill you. 3 solo home runs is only 3 runs. That's a quality start.
Watching Manuel Margot hit a 3-run home run yesterday off Lance McCullers after Jose Altuve made an error was fun.
Are you Manny Margot? Oh, I'm sorry, that's such a clever segue. Tell us about Manny Margot.
Manny Margot in 2018 was considered a top 60 dynasty asset, period, and just fell off the cliff in San Diego and just did nothing. And now he's just as good a player as you ever would have expected, ever would have wanted him to be. And watching him do this for the Rays is just fabulous to watch. It's really fun. And more fun is watching Jose Altuve struggle.
It reminds me of Chuck Knobloch, right?
That's what. Yeah. Oh, right. I was like, oh, that was my. Yeah.
Sorry, that's in the rundown. Sorry, everybody.
Those. I was like, hey, that's really wow. Look at that. What did you think? DVR, did you see him? Did you see the yips yesterday?
Yeah, I don't really know if it's that level quite yet, but it's. You know, it's fun to watch the Astros fail at this point.
Absolutely. And now on to my rant. Fun to watch the Yankees fail.
You've done it. You're doing a heel turn, man. This is like when Hulk Hogan started wearing black.
That's so true. No, I got hit on Twitter. Some people like bad take, Ian, really bad take, which I find interesting when people say bad take. Isn't that just I disagree? I mean, isn't that kind of what it is? But you know, we talked about this on the show a few, like 3 weeks ago when it happened, when Chapman threw 101 at Brusso's head and then followed in after him to, as if to say, and I meant it. I'm watching Brusso in the playoffs against Chapman, and the Yankee fan in me is going, strike him out. And the human in me is saying, take him deep. Because what would be more poetic than watching Chapman, who almost killed, I shouldn't say that, but has done other things in the past that have put people in danger in life, and then throw a ball at 101 miles an hour at a guy's head. Take him deep. Make him the loser that he is. Because Chapman now is a loser for the New York Yankees. One of the worst closers, period, that the Yankees have ever had. That's, a loser.
I mean, really?
2 years in a row. 2 years in a row gives up the home run that ends the season. And the feeling as you watch is that he's going to do that, and then he does it. So watching Brusso hit that home run, it was terrible because I had to say to my son, who, you know, I'm sorry, we're not going to be watching any more games. And the reality is we didn't deserve to win that game. This is my perspective. Anyone wants to disagree, feel free to disagree.
FantasyPods@TheAthletic.com.
You act like a freaking villain. You get what you deserve. And I called Colette. And I was like, I know this is going to sound strange, but I'm not just happy for you. I called it one of my favorite moments in baseball history, which the next day I went, but it also sucks because now my team season is over. But it was just so poetically appropriate. And
I was surprised you went that route. I think I said something on our group text about that. And
what did you think?
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree with you. I'm actually... as I was watching, I was going through the same thing. And yeah. I said to your son, like, this is what I want to see happen. So it was the exact same thing.
No, because there's, like, I didn't want to see him strike Brusso out. I didn't want that. Because then, like, what he did, like, worked for him. And this shows, look, I coach Little League Baseball, man, and I teach the kids is how you play the game is more important than whether you win or lose. And the way the Yankees played the game that day in September when he threw at his head was crap. Didn't even get punished for it. He'll get punished for it in 2021, apparently. But I was on record at the time saying it was crap. It's crap now and freaking appropriate. Get Chapman off the team.
Who's Chapman
off the team. Zach Britton. No, yeah, right. No, but DVR was right, too, because I was thinking watching Zach Britton pitch when I was somewhat complaining about paying a middle reliever, even though he's a setup guy, all that money. Britton's worth every penny. Ottavino's not worth that money. But I say trade Chapman. Get him off the team. I have no interest. Best thing Chapman ever did for this team was get traded so he could get Gleyber Torres. That's it. Nothing else has he done. What else has he done?
Was that a one-for-one trade?
Yeah.
Was it?
I think so. I think it was just you get 2 months of Chapman for 6 years of Gleyber Torres.
Yeah, right.
What a trade.
I'll take a look at that on this baseball reference page.
Yeah, so thanks. That's my rant. I don't know if it was a rant as much as a tip of the hat to the Rays. They sure are a good baseball team. I love Kevin Cash. I think he's a great manager. And that team's only going to – here's the scary
thing. That was a four-for-one.
Did they get – what's his name? Billy McKinney in that
Billy
trade,
McKinney.
Too?
They got Adam Warren, and they got Rashad Crawford.
Okay. Yeah, but Billy McKinney – I mean, yeah, yes. But, yeah, no, I remember them getting McKinney and Warren. They got back who they had traded. So that was – but here's the scary part for AL East fans. The Rays are going to get better, not worse, because Willy Adames is getting better. Wander Franco is coming. Vidal Brujan is coming. They've got pitchers coming. I mean, that team is – and they're smartly put together – you know, and the other thing I was going to say is that DBR was talking about it's money spent, but I wish there was a salary cap. I wish the Yankees didn't have $250 million to spend. I don't think it's fair. Man. So the fact that a team with a $70 million salary is beating a team with a $250 million salary, that should be noted. Freaking punk ass Chapman.
You are going to have an off season of I don't know. Like I can see just crying in a corner. With a bunch of Aroldis Chapman baseball cards smeared across your face.
Me? No. Yeah. No.
Crying into your Aroldis Chapman jersey. Like, you don't know which way to go right now. It's crazy.
Chapman, I would never own an Aroldis Chapman jersey for a minute. What's interesting is how Brian Cashman, who I think is a very good general manager, is going to handle this offseason. Like, where is he going to put his money? Is he going to re-sign Tanaka? If he is, what price? Paxton? Like, there's a lot of interesting stuff, but we have all of November and December to kind of look at that stuff. So I want to get back to the stats because I love this game.
Are you sure you got like four or five more things on your list?
No. DVR was right. It just happens organically.
Yeah, totally organically.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Okay. Point to Ian for Roman Quinn.
Yes.
Here's the next one. Ian leads 4-3. Six players stole 10 bases and hit 10 home runs. Now, I didn't actually think through how to score this. If you guys want to take turns guessing, I can give you points. We could do the Stump the Schwab way where you guess if you're wrong, the next guy gets a shot, like stuff like that. Or I can give you each three guesses.
How many do we want to guess?
Well, there are six players, and I'll actually give a bonus point because someone missed it by just one steal. So I'll give you that as the bonus point. So there are seven players really you could name here.
Okay. I've got one.
Go ahead.
Trey Turner.
Trey Turner is correct. That's an Ian point.
Trevor Story?
Trevor Story is one. That's a DVR point.
Dylan Moore.
Dylan Moore is not one. Sorry, that's one strike for Ian.
Oh, he's only got eight stolen bases.
Yeah, fell short.
He's got eight home runs, right? Eight home runs and 12 stolen bases?
Dylan Moore? Why are you asking us, man? That was like that's like your adopted son.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, he was close, but not quite. I'm going to say Acuna.
Ronald Acuna is not one of them.
Ooh. Okay.
Sorry, DVR. Missed a little time.
Starling Marte?
Starling Marte is not. That's two strikes for Ian, one strike for DVR. You each have one correct.
I'll say Fernando Tatis Jr.
Fernando Tatis Jr. is one of them. Congratulations, DVR. There are three players remaining and one bonus player remaining. Ian Khan.
Thinking.
Get yourself together, man. I can give you guys hints if you really need them. But
yeah, I could use a hint right now.
Really? I got one. I got one in the hopper.
Go ahead. If you can win this out. Go ahead.
Jose Ramirez.
Jose Ramirez is one of them. That's not even the one who I thought would be the obvious one yet.
That's over. I'm calling it there.
Go ahead, Ian. You got three more guesses, man. Just come on. Think of who are the best players in baseball.
Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts is one of them.
Thank you.
Boom.
It's not Mike Trout. I know that.
It's not Mike Trout. DVR, one of these guys is on your OOTP team. And he's the reason I wrote this question.
Ah, Will Myers.
Not Will Myers. Sorry, Fred.
Hold on. This was an intentional.
Then I'm going to take a moment to get the guess.
All right.
Did Machado get to 10 stolen bases? That would be insane if he did.
He did run more than expected,
but he didn't get to 10.
It was not Manny Machado.
No, it wasn't. Hold on. Center field. Tommy Pham. It's not going to be Tommy Pham. Center field. Oh, Trent Grisham.
Trent Grisham.
Yep. Ooh.
How do you like that?
That's a good
you
one.
You guys got them all. Congratulations. Well, I mean, there's the guy
you kind of gave a hint. You hinted on the OTP.
Guy. All right, the guy. People refer to him by possibly the most annoying nickname of all time. He wears a non-traditional number. May or may not have been on Ian's OTP team.
I'll say Luis Robert.
Yes.
And I think he's going by Robert again now, but I'm not sure because no one's clear on this. But what do they call him, Lubov?
That's it. Every time I see that, I just want to reach through my computer and punch whoever's saying it.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad nickname. The worst sports nickname I can recall is the Muscle Hamster for Doug Martin in fantasy football.
I hated that one so much too.
He came out and said he hated it. I'm like, I feel bad. This is not a good nickname, and he doesn't like it. And people kept calling him that anyway.
I was still watching football back then. He was Tampa Bay Rays, right? Doug Martin, Tampa Bay Rays?
Buccaneers.
I mean, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. That's good about job. When I got out. Thank you.
So let's talk Trent Grisham. Trent Grisham's, I find, very interesting here. I did not expect him to be in this double-double category.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Go. what does this mean for him going forward? Is Trent Grisham, I mean, he's in company that would suggest that Trent Grisham is maybe going to be drafted in the top six rounds next year. In
I remember
a 15-team mixed league, $12.
DVR had a lot to say about Trent Grisham before the season. He had a lot of thoughts about him. So, DVR?
I didn't think he would hit for power going into San Diego because he's a left-handed hitter. I thought that was going to dry up the power. He'd be 15 to 20 homers at most over a full season. So 10 and 59 games was a surprise. He ran a ton. I didn't see him running that much. Excuse me. I think he's easily a top 100 overall player going into 2021. There's no doubt about that. I don't know if we're going to see a full season in 2021 that makes him an obvious top 50 guy going into the following year, into 2022, if that makes sense.
It does. So he didn't show you really anything that would make you say, yeah. So, let me put it this way. Is someone going to be out there next year championing him? As like you got that this was his breakout. You just didn't notice it because it was a short season. He like had all these peripherals. He's amazing. He was a 10-10 guy. Like, why aren't we all in love with him? Is that going to happen? Is there going to be like that dude who's just like who's claiming himself as a Trent Grisham expert?
There probably will be. I think it's just hard to buy into the pull happy approach we saw leading to that much power over a full season. Ground ball rate's a little higher than we'd like to see. So hopefully it's the ball in the air more in the future. I feel like I'm picking nits because I kind of am. I mean, I think he's a very good player. And I hope people don't value him like an elite player because I don't think he's quite reached that level yet, even though that list is full of good company, right? I mean, Story, Tatis, Ramirez, Betts, Trey Turner, those guys are all first rounders.
Yeah.
So
Luis Robert could second round at least next year, right? Am I crazy?
I think he was tracking that way at the beginning of the year, and then the plate skills sort of fell apart as the year went on. So I think he's going to be more of a third, fourth round guy. Is Grisham going to go, what do you think, in fourth, fifth round in like a 15-teamer, or is he going to go earlier than that?
Not for me. He's not going that high. I mean, to me, that's about as high. That's going to be his height. At least for me, I won't be reaching into the sixth round for him. If he's there in the fifth or sixth round, I'm not going to go for him.
Where was he on your prospect list? I'm sorry, on your dynasty list. Yeah.
Hold on, where did I put him? I can find it.
While you're looking that up, his ADP in the Mason mocks was 57.8. So nice. In a 15-team league, that makes him a late fourth rounder.
Are we all on this San Diego's better hitters park now? Or is that because the lineup is just amazing? Wasn't there something about they brought on the wall, knocked something down, and it changed how it played?
It's not bad for righties. It's still tough for lefties. One of the things that changed, a couple things that changed, they put some high rises in the last couple of years near the ballpark. So that changed some wind patterns. And the scoreboard, if you've ever noticed it, in left field there is huge. So that actually changed some of the breeze coming in from left field, which I think is why righties have had a lot more success there. But you still got to deal with the marine layer. That's still a concern, right? The air is pretty heavy. The ball doesn't carry as well, especially during night games.
Marine layer, DVR.
Oh, it's real.
I know.
It's wonderful, though. That's my favorite park to go to. I think there are parks that are better, nicer parks overall, but that's my favorite all-round experience because, I mean, you're in San Diego. You're surrounded by craft beer and get the ocean, great views from the park. What more could you want?
I did these rankings.
Best gal, your arm around your best gal.
Yeah.
It's bark at the park night.
Right. Yeah. I could go there with my dog. There you go. I went there with my wife last time. We had a great time.
Sorry. Ian, go
I saw a walk-off grand slam. Like, how often do you see that?
Slam Diego. So I had Trent Grisham it was August 25th, I think, is when it came out, like right before the trade deadline. And I had Trent Grisham at 97 on my list. If he's going at 56 as a 23-year-old, he would have to be moved up into the top 40. And I'm not doing that personally. Because to be a 23-year-old hitter going in the fourth round, I mean, he's got to be – I mean, you'd almost have to consider him in the top 40, like – around where Tim Anderson is at, or you know, Manny Machado.
I almost dinged when you said Tim Anderson.
No, but he's got so many. He's got so many years ahead of him. Not for me. I there are guys who I just don't who I like, and guys who I don't like. And Trent Grisham is a great baseball player who's very helpful. But he did struggle. If you look at his last couple of weeks, he really did fall off quite a bit in his last. It was like a 2-week period where he really did nothing. I don't remember when it was, but I just remember because I owned him in one league in GDD. I traded for him with Glenn Colton and Rick Wolf, and he was very helpful for a while.
I feel like you should howl when you say Rick Wolf.
For Rick. Yeah. And Rick Wolf. I'll take a quick look at it for Trent Grisham. He was, I just want to look at his game log. Like it really, like there was a minute there where it was like, yeah, all right, it's all falling off. And then he had like one great game in San Francisco at the end of the year. But he struggled. He struggled a little bit from the 15th till the end. Only one really good game. But then he had like the hottest, he had some seriously hot games. So, you know, it's just not for me. He's just not for me.
That's fair. All right. Actually, DVR, you want to hit up that email? We're talking Dynasty. I know that's a Dynasty-themed question. And we can jump back into the game, or do you just want to say screw it and get right back into the game?
Let's take this question. It's from Jim, loyal listener to all of our Athletic Fantasy pods, so we appreciate that. And Jim actually made a donation to the American Cancer Society campaign that I've been putting out there on Twitter. Wow. So
thanks, Jim.
Two thumbs up for Jim for being awesome. And his question was about dynasty leagues and basically going after sort of age 30 guys and older, like Michael Brantley, Carlos Santana, Andrew McCutchen. He set the question late in the year, and it was at a time when he was looking at the waiver wire, and somebody in his league had dropped Tommy Pham, and you know, other players on the wire were guys like Pat Valaika, right? There's a big gap between Valaika types and Pham types. So how much do you lean into older players getting undervalued in dynasty leagues, Ian? Is that a buying opportunity, both via trade in the offseason, in season, and in more shallow dynasty leagues? I know you and I play in some leagues with like 20 teams in them, but in 10, 12 team dynasty leagues, older players that still have something left end up back in the draft pool sometimes. You have to kind of choose between the old proven veteran versus the first rounders from the year before, right? The young guys that you're going to try to stash away for the future. So, you know, what do you do with those older players that have nice projections but don't have that long-term value?
It really depends, I think, on where your team is at and where, you know, what it is that you're looking for. So someone like Michael Brantley, if you have a choice between Michael Brantley or like Spencer Torkelson, you really want to take Spencer Torkelson. I mean, if you have, I remember I made a trade in a dynasty league last year before the season. I traded two players for first round picks. I traded Jake Odorizzi for the 8th pick in the draft, and I traded Franmil Reyes. Remember, I told you guys about this trade for the 4th pick in the draft. For the 4th pick in the draft, which ended up being Rutschman. So I say it's better. You're better suited, really, to get the if you've got a prospect who's a top 40 prospect, 50 prospect that's available to you, you can flip that for a player that's even better than most of the guys that you're seeing here, in my opinion.
All right. Okay. Yeah. If you think about what those young prospects normally get via trade, you're right. You'd be better off as long as your league's active in trading too. There's some dynasty leagues out there where everyone's afraid of trading a prospect and they'd overpay to get one, I guess. So that would be the ideal spot to do it. But I'm thinking about the guys in this year's class for a second. Yeah, Torkelson's going to be part of that group. How many top 40, top 50 type prospects do you think there are at the top of the board in the early round of this year's dynasty drafts?
I mean, I would say a few. Austin Martin makes the list for sure for me. Zach Veen would make the list. Max Mayer is in that. I'd rather have Asa Lacy. Do we want to call him? I do like Zach Veen more than some. There's always guys, you know, and then you've got like, I forget the guy's name, Kim coming over from Japan now, for sure coming over. Definitely going to be posted. Like, I would take Kim over all levels of those guys. And he's going to be the 3rd, 4th, 5th pick in the draft. If Suzuki also comes over from Japan, I would take him over all those other guys. So I don't love taking veterans in that spot when there are good prospects available. I just let those guys fall because they're always available. And then you get to May or, you know, late May, and a team decides, oh, I'm not going to make it this year. Then all of a sudden you're getting those guys for a 4th round pick because they just want to rebuild. And that's when I would prefer to buy those guys. But that's just the way I do it.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ian, have you ever thought about doing baseball cards?
You know, I have baseball cards. I was a huge baseball card kid when I was younger, but I don't know, man. I probably should, but
I think it's a prospect game there now. Like you get the limited edition shimmer card or whatever, the right guy, but it just seems like you're naming these names, and I'm like, oh, that might be an interesting guy to Google later on eBay and just see what. Well, I guess to search later on eBay, but It just seems like something you might be good at. If you're good at pinpointing these prospects, and you know, you could buy a, say the guy's already $25, you know, his Bowman first, whatever. You know, maybe it's destined to go to, you know, 60.
I would agree, and I think Nick Gonzalez fits into that category too from the Pirates. You know, what's interesting is joining. So I mentioned last week that I joined XFL with DVR, and Steve Gardner is my partner. And one of the great things is it's another open universe league. So you can take anybody you want. Like if they're in the league, Steve Moyer was the original owner of the team that Steve Gardner and I have. And he took Bryce Harper as a 16-year-old or 15-year-old.
All right.
And now he's been on the team for the last, like, 11 years. So it really is more fun. I really do.
Was awesome. I don't think he gets his props in the universe of fantasy and how good of a dude he was and just how good he was, how smart he was.
I don't know, man. These guys talk about him with
Yeah,
they love him.
But I mean, like, you know, him. Dude walking around the street should probably know who Steve Moyer is.
Tell him, man. Tell him.
Steve Moyer, the man. Go read him about it. He was in Fantasyland. That's how I knew him. I like it. It's a great guy.
They loved him. Everyone's like, you know, the team is that you are running now with Steve Gardner is Steve Moyer's team. You better know that. And I'm like, yep, yes, sir. I do know it.
That's cool. That's good.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm glad it's in good hands.
I hope so, yeah.
By the way, DVR's up. No, we're tied. I'm sorry, we're tied in this game. You guys got all seven on the last one, which is very impressive.
Very exciting.
All right.
I missed a couple, though, to be totally straight. I did miss a few.
You know, it's a feel-good show. The world needs a little feel-good show right now. We're going to give those points.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'll take it.
This one is going to be hard, but it's a very interesting answer. The MLB leader in triples this season was...
I never think about triples.
I just equate it with speed, and that's why I find it kind of interesting.
Because it's not a speed guy, is it?
It kind of is, but it's not someone who I thought of as a speed guy, I guess.
I knew this. I'll give you this.
He also just missed the 10-10 list.
It's not Dylan Moore.
It is Dylan Moore.
Is it?
No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Oh, damn.
Here's some other stuff about this player. Had 58 games, 209 at bats, 12 doubles, 9 home runs. 8 steals, a .268 average, a .325 on base percentage, .836 OPS. Played in the American League.
Oh, well, it's not. I was going to say it was Mondesi, but you don't think of him as a speed guy, so it can't be Mondesi.
Let me go deeper.
I got a guess. Is it Kevin Biggio?
It is not. It is not Kevin Biggio. It's Kevin, actually.
Someone called him Kevon.
I like that.
I think it was before anyone had ever heard his name pronounced, we were talking about him on the old RotoWire XM show. I think it was Clay Link, and he said, I'm kind of interested in Kevon Biggio. I was just dying. I'm like, that can't be it. I don't know what it is, but that just can't be the pronunciation.
Do you watch Cobra Kai? Either you guys watch Cobra Kai?
I want to, and I haven't yet.
I'll tell you, dude, the first season is the most amazing thing you'll ever see. The second season is a very good follow-up. You just get through the first couple episodes, but there's a dude who's in there who talks like I think Clay Link talks. Like, I've only heard Clay Link a few times on the radio, but I hear him and I'm like, that sounds Clay Link. Anyway, back to
this. You give me a division? I'll take a division.
All right, American League West.
Okay. I'm going to make a guess, but this is not my final guess, but I'm going to say Kyle Tucker.
You just want to keep guessing, or do you want to slam that one in?
If I'm right on Kyle Tucker, I want to slam it in. If it's not, I want a second guess.
Is Kyle Tucker.
Yes.
What made you guess Kyle Tucker?
Because I've been really looking into him, and I remembered.
Right, like right now when you Google it on your phone very quietly?
No, I swear on my kids.
You binged it.
No, I didn't. I really thought it through. And then when you said AL West, I was like, it's not the Angels. And then I said, and I remembered something about Tucker that I was surprised that he had all these triples. But it was like, I don't think he had him for a while. Like, I think he just, like, he had him. Like, I remembered reading this sometime in early September that, like, he's got the most triples in the league. But let me double check that because it's worth a look. Hey, I'm going to claim full credit for that one.
That is very impressive because, like, you could have given me 100 guesses. I don't think I would have landed on Kyle Tucker without a clue.
But you also said, Six. All right, we only had six, but still, it's pretty good.
But it's two more than the next guy.
Yeah. See, no. I'm right. Like there was a run there. He didn't have any in September. So
that's even crazier.
Yeah. So he had, it was all in August. It all happened. Yep. All in August. 11th, he had one. Then it was the 19th, he had two. And then the 20th, he had one. And then the 25th and the 29th.
DVR, so I bet your rates and barrels doesn't do a game log of Kyle Tucker's triples.
No, we have not done that.
Yes, but it's a very good show. I just have to say it's a very, very good show. DVR. Yes, I'm feeling good about that. I feel really good about that.
Ian and I will give $25 each to this cancer fundraiser if you somehow bring it up with Britt and Eno and actually get to read off all of Kyle Tucker's triple games.
No. How about this?
All right. You're right. Eno give the full 50.
I'll give that's my job is to give away your money, not your job to give away my money.
You scammed me into that league, so yeah, right. You owe me.
We had fun and it gave us, and remember what you said. You were like, oh, it's a good idea. We'll do it. It'll be good for content. And what was it? It was good for content.
Yeah, I got a tax deduct that entry fee.
Yeah, because it was all about the, you know, the second baseman from the Yankees. But if ask that question, DVR, on rates and barrels and see if anyone gets it. But I'm in for $25.
That's not as much fun as him just randomly reading all the Kyle Tucker doubles from 2020.
It's triples, and triples, that wouldn't be fun. Yeah. It's an interesting question.
All right.
I will put that out there as a trivia question to them on the episode later tonight. So it'll go out tomorrow morning, and I will try. I don't know if I'll get to the game log. I'll try to get the game log in there too.
You don't have to for me. And how about this? If either of your co-hosts gets it right, I'll double it. But you can't give him hints beyond.
I will give zero hints.
Zero hints. Okay.
No, I mean, you're talking about the playoffs.
I didn't give him.
So based, no, I don't even think I have to do that though, because in the context clues, we're talking about the two playoff games, so they should know that it's related to somebody on one of those four teams, right? Like that's enough of a hint in and of itself.
No,
so.
I think that makes it easier. Now I'm not feeling good about this at all.
Jeez. It's for charity, you guys.
All
come
right,
on.
Fair enough. All right, $25.
Also,
bucks.
They're both terrible at trivia. They're great people, but they're very bad at trivia.
Yeah, those are his two best friends.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
Okay, no, this is fun. I'm feeling good. We've got to finish this tonight. We've got to finish this. So I'm feeling so good about this.
So Ian's up by one.
I'm so excited.
Like I got three more questions left. Where are we on time? We're pretty good on time. Well, I don't remember. Oh, we got some time. We got some time.
I think we're okay. Right.
Okay. Okay, so Ian's up by one. Number nine. Five players had a ground out, air out above two. This season, five players had a ground out to air out ratio above two, which I find very high.
What does that mean? It means that they grounded out twice as many
ground outs as air outs. It's not the ground ball to fly ball ratio exactly because these are outs, but okay. they were still like this number stood out, and one player in particular, I'm like, oh, that's very interesting. So, go.
Five players.
There were five players. Like you would assume that I don't even know if you would assume they're ground ball hitters. I would assume you'd have to assume if they're making outs on the ground. But
I'm gonna say DJ LeMahieu is one.
DJ LeMahieu is one. Nice. Wow, Ian, man, you're really good at this, man.
I don't know. I was just thinking through, and I was like, I just see him. He doesn't pop out much. He doesn't fly out much. A lot of ground outs.
DVR.
I'll throw Alex Bregman out there.
Alex Bregman was not one of them. I'm sorry. Ian Kahn.
Say Eric Hosmer.
Eric Hosmer was not one of them.
He used to be.
That's usually a safe guess because I was going to go there next. I'm glad.
He used to be.
Glad you beat me to that one because, oh boy, a lot of ground ball. The thing about ground balls, while I stall for a second, and I think the reason Bregman popped into my head is because he was hitting the crap out of the ball in game two. He went 0 for 5 with five hard hit balls, but I think at least two of them were on the ground. You can be like, Hosmer had good exit velocity numbers and was hitting the ball on the ground too much. This year he actually put the ball in the air more and some good things happened for him.
A question.
Wow, this is good. Is there anybody good on this list?
I mean, oh, DJ LeMahieu, that's why it was very surprised. Well, DJ LeMahieu I considered very good.
He's good. Yeah, he's very good. Is there anybody else who's good?
There's one guy who's an absolute superstar on this list. 344 ISO.
Jeez. Okay.
I'll tell you,
makes sense,
I go down the list
it?
And I'll tell you what, there's a guy who is a budding superstar, I would say. There's a guy who is an absolute superstar. There's a guy who you definitely wouldn't expect. I mean, he's just kind of like, whatever, all right. And there's a guy who you could be like, oh, yeah, I could see that. Does that help narrow it down for you?
Mookie Betts.
Sure.
Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts is not the superstar we're looking for. This
Was Yelich on there? I felt like he was pounding the ball on the ground.
You know
what?
He's number nine.
Okay. Yeah, he's just seemed to hit more ground balls than usual this year.
Going back to his old ways. That always used to be the Salfino thing against Yelich.
Yeah, that was the problem for a while. I thought of a guy that wouldn't qualify. He didn't play enough.
One guy on here got traded this season, and the team that traded him away kind of hinted that he was selfish and not a good team player and was doing things for himself.
Tommy Pham?
Not Tommy Pham. One of these guys, I'll tell you he plays for Pittsburgh, and that might not even help you narrow it down. One of these guys had a lot of value because he had catcher eligibility.
Falefa.
I'm not going to need this whole name. DVR jump in.
Isaiah Falefa.
Good call.
All right,
that makes
Ian,
sense.
Is Josh Bell the pirate?
Josh Bell is not the pirate. This guy, well, I guess he's technically a DH this year. I don't know. Played a lot of DH this year, apparently, because that's his designation on MLB.com. Colin Moran.
Colin Moran, okay. That's weak. Hit the ball pretty hard. So the two good players are still left.
Yeah.
You said there were five. We got three. There's a superstar and a budding superstar.
The budding superstar I said was Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Okay. I don't know about
that. Was the most misleading clue anyone's ever given in the history of
clues. No, wait a second.
Clues.
You don't think he's a budding superstar? I'm sorry, a budding star.
No, but he's not even a budding star. He was a budding valuable. He was an extremely valuable fantasy baseball player in 2020. Period. Absolutely, without question. But next year he's, 15th round pick, 20th round pick, maybe.
I don't know.
No higher. He's not going to have catcher eligibility.
But I think he produces a higher level than that.
Maybe you're right. I'm not sure.
He was good, maybe. Man.
He ran, too. He ran. He did run. So that does matter.
By the way,
this is Cody Bellinger.
It's not Cody Bellinger. This is a National League player.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful at this point.
Not a lot of letters in his entire name, if that helps. Not someone you would think
Joey
of.
Joey Votto?
I'm sorry?
Joey Votto?
Not Joey Votto. I'm talking superstar here.
I thought maybe he was a former superstar.
Joey Votto had a couple of good weeks. Freddie Freeman.
We're talking about a guy who had 13 home runs, 14 doubles, hit .351 this season with a 1.185 OPS. Maybe that's why. Maybe he didn't get a lot of outs. That could be.
All right, I'm not gonna answer because
that's a Marcelo Zuna.
It is not. No, he struck out 28 times to 41 walks.
I know the answer because I just saw it. So I'm not going to.
How did you just see it?
Because I was looking at all the players, and then I went, "Oh, it's him." And then
so you are cheating?
I just called myself out and said I'm going to recuse myself because I saw what the answer is. So I'm not going to do it because I didn't know you were going to look at averages. But it's a really cool answer.
Actually, I think a bigger problem here is DVR. Like, you're not looking at a list of players, are you?
No, yeah. No, I've got,
and I didn't
I've
on Kyle Tucker, but I've
a game
I'm just,
on.
I'm clean with myself.
Ian Khan, the Houston Astros, is under the radar.
Nice.
Wow.
Just give it up to him. Give it up to him. It's he's such a good.
Well, I'm also docking you 4 points for cheating.
That's fine. That's fine.
It is Juan Soto.
Yeah,
that makes with the walk.
I know. Yeah. And the 351 was what kind of I was like. Oh wait, it's Juan Soto. So no. Yeah, that's why I had to call myself out. It's amazing. And actually, I really like that stat. So who are the five players again?
We haven't guessed the last one, but it's DJ LeMahieu, Isaiah mm-hmm. Kiner-Falefa, Juan mm-hmm. Soto, Colin mm-hmm. Moran, and guy known for his steals. Marlins traded him away. They said, screw you, buddy.
Oh, VR?
Jonathan VR.
Wow.
Not a team player.
Not a team player.
Would not have guessed that in a million years. That's a guy who's not going to be on any of my teams next year is Jonathan VR.
None because he's a knucklehead, right? He stole 16 bases, Ian. I mean, like, you can't, like, you know.
No, I get it. Look, I paid $24 for him in GDD. Remember when we talked about it? And I was like, look, that was a purely mercenary play on my part. And I won steals in that league by 25. I played it terribly. I won steals by so many it was foolish. But I'm trying to figure out this Colin Moran thing. Like, what? It doesn't make any sense. He's the one thing that, I mean.
Really? I thought that was just kind of like the guy, like, all right, Colin Moran, sure. And then move on. It's like, it's really?
Because Soto and LeMahieu are two of the best bat to ball players there are, period. Right? I mean, we agree with that.
Yeah.
And Moran does not fit into that category. VR does not fit into that category for me. And then kind of for Leifa, I think we got to look a little closer. I mean, dude, freaking, how much did you spend on him? Nando and Fab in one league, like $750 and something.
Yeah, I went nuts. It was in the TGBFI.
TGFBI, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, right. You know what I'm talking about.
But he had 8 stolen bases and 5 caught stealings, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. 280 average, 329 OBP, 3 home runs. Yeah, I mean.
Budding star.
8 stolen bases, 5 caught stealings.
Those 3 home runs, that could be 14 next year, yeah.
Could be.
He's only 25.
He'll also have third base eligibility and shortstop eligibility for sure.
I thought you would have liked the idea that he, like the reason he was so good, like you read about how he's hammering the ball in the second spring training and he went back to Hawaii mm-hmm. and did these crazy, like he was just like locked in and tried to become a better hitter with the time off. That's an Ian Khan guy, if I've ever heard of one.
You know, can I bring up one other thing? Look, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, you were on him a lot more than either DVR and I, and you were right.
Probably this guy who had 283 homers, you know, like for whatever,
Oh, so they just came out and said that it was going to be 10 games for position eligibility in CBS next year. Did you see that?
Seems a little high.
And that's the same thing in XFL. I don't understand. Why would they do that? Why would it not be 7 or 8? You know,
I don't know. We can ask Scott White. He'll let us know. I think he has a role in the decision making there.
Well, he posted a tweet about it back in the day. He tweeted about it, and he said that's what we decided, and that's what we're going with. And it seems like people want it to be that, but that's not why we chose to do it. But I was just sort of like, huh? I don't get that. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, we with 60 games, 162. Do the math. That's 7. Or if you want to round up, it's 8.
But what's the in game? I guess, are they going to be lenient on the in game, or are they going to just keep that the same? I'm sorry, in season.
I think they'll probably keep the in season the same. I think it's 5 in CBS. I'm not sure. I just don't know. I mean, how do you feel about this, guys? Like, what would you, if you were, you know, emperor of the fantasy baseball world, what would you choose?
No. I don't really care, man.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying that to blow you off. I'm saying, like, I just give me the rules and let's play. Like, I'm okay. Yeah.
I do care a little bit. So, DVR, what would you go with?
I'd just say it's 5. I mean, why? We're talking about a shortened season. If 5 is enough to qualify at a new position in season, why isn't 5 enough to qualify from a 60-game season?
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think if you're gonna not go with the math, I would go less, not more.
Right. I would say 5 should be the cutoff this year, and I could see lowering it from 20 to 15 or from 20 to 10 in future full seasons when we're looking back for eligibility.
Oh, you just want to make it, you want to change it full time.
Yeah.
I think it should be a little bit lower than 20 going forward because of the way the game's played now. Guys move around quite a bit more than they used to.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I don't know if I agree with that. I like the 20.
Yeah, DVR, you
overall. I like the 20. I just don't like the what looks at what now is 25 or 24.
I don't like Derek's opinion about position eligibility. 1 star.
1 star. That's true. Bad take. No, it's interesting. Somebody, bad take. They wrote Ian, bad take. And now I'm rethinking this. So when I first read that, I was like, oh, come on, man. Like, you know, it's just my opinion. But I guess what it means when they say bad take here is that typically they like my takes, but this one, not so much.
It's term of endearment.
You're smart, but this time you're kind of dumb. And I just want to let you know that you're kind of dumb on this one. Is that what bad take means?
Sure.
All right. We'll go with that.
Yeah. By the way, I'd like to see you get into a Twitter fight with Scott White. So if we could make that happen,
man.
I'll rile you both up.
No. There'll be no fighting with Scott White. There's no fighting on Twitter. There's no upside to that. There's no upside to an argument on Twitter ever.
Fair.
Like ever. I got into one. I think I got into one with a buddy of ours and erased it within like 8 minutes. I was like, I got to get rid of this before anybody else sees it. Because who cares? I'll tell you off air.
Ah, come on, man. We're all friends here. Everyone listens. It's off season. They're our friends.
No.
All right, fine.
No. Okay. Definitely not. I'll tell you. I'll tell DVR. I'll remind you because I called you and told you that it was happening. I'm joking. You're like, oh, dude.
I know. I'm joking.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Do we have any more of those questions left?
We got 2 more questions left. They're both very hard.
Should we save them for 2 weeks from now when we come back?
I don't know. There are just two left. I mean, you've already been disqualified, so this is more like an exhibition match now.
It's so mean. It's so awful.
Well, okay. I mean, you're looking at player names.
No, dude. No, I wasn't. That's the point. It was at that time.
Oh, right,
I'm sorry.
The ticker that goes through your home office was just flashing Juan Soto's home run.
No, no, no. I am so
are you proud David
of
Busters?
Myself about Kyle Tucker. I am so proud about Kyle Tucker. Like, you can say whatever you want. I'm feeling so great that I got the Kyle Tucker answer right.
That's going into the record books with an asterisk.
There you go.
You got it just in time, too. I was just starting to think about Tucker with the hint, and you jumped all over it.
Are you serious?
I was. I had him in a couple places, just a few.
Yeah.
You might recall, I like Kyle Tucker.
You do. That's true.
Yeah.
I traded for Kyle Tucker in my league with DVR, and I'm going to own him for the next 4 years.
Straight back.
With Dr. Thomas Scott, the official pediatrician which I actually used for the first time. I called him up. I was like, I have a question. He was like, I'm right there for you, buddy.
It was nice.
It was great.
He's a nice guy.
He was great. He's a great guy.
Okay, so we can do these last two. I mean, they're going to take a little while to guess, I think, unless I can whittle down hints for you.
And we're going to need them then, apparently.
All right, well, there's a catcher in the top 10 of exit velocity overall. There was a catcher in there. I believe the minimum was 50 plate appearances. 50 games would have been kind of wild, but let's just say 50 plate appearances for the sake of whatever. Yeah, 50 at bats.
I have two guesses off the top of my head.
Yeah, I got one.
Okay, go.
Sal Perez?
No.
All right, that was not where I was going. I've got two. Travis Darnot?
No.
And Aaron Nola?
No. I'm telling you guys, this is a hard one. It's mind-blowing to me. So I'll give you this. National
Martin
League.
Martin Maldonado.
No, oh, National League.
National League.
I don't even know like how to give you any more
hints. Will Smith.
Not Will Smith. This guy hit .217 with one home run in 69 at-bats this year.
That's weird.
And finished in the top 10 of exit velocity.
What?
Yeah. Overall leaderboard of exit velocity. This is a catcher.
A backup catcher?
I don't know what you'd call him, man. Split time, backup. Why do we need titles?
Is it Yan Gomes?
It is not.
Ooh, he had a better average than that.
Is it Alejandro Kirk?
Oh, wait, hold on. Now, hold on. This message board is totally different. This board is totally different now. I was going back to look at something, and he's gone.
Uh-oh. That is sad.
It's been messed up. Hold on.
You are disqualified.
I've disqualified myself.
I get my 4 points
back. It was such
back.
A smooth edit until now.
Sorry about that. No, I mean, hey, let's keep going. We messed this up, but the answer was Tyler Flowers, but he's gone now.
Oh.
All right.
That's weird.
Well, I thought it was very weird, but I went back to the exit velocity and barrels leaderboard on StatCast, and actually Travis Darnot is in there with 93.4, but that's interesting. All right.
So I was right with my first guess?
Yeah, I guess you were right. It won't count, of course, but...
right. Sounds good.
How strange. 2020 regular season MLB StatCast. Weird. All right, I'm going to
what's next?
No, hold on. I got to figure out what's
going
on.
It's all plays.
You guys talk about Brusdor Gritterall. I'll be right back.
Yeah, why doesn't he strike more guys out?
Yeah, he sucks, right?
Nice. I think he just doesn't have much movement. And he made Manny Machado really mad.
It's weird. Like, sometimes he has movement, and then sometimes he doesn't. If you look at the overall numbers, like, compared to other fastballs, he doesn't have a lot of movement, relatively speaking. So it's a total puzzle to throw that hard and to not miss more bats. That's not 95 with no movement. That's like 101 with not enough movement.
Average exit velocity, 2020 batters, minimum plate appearance, 50. Tyler Flowers is 10th with 93. This is on Baseball Savant at MLB.com. Oh, I see what happened here. Travis Darnot is also number 6. All right, anyway, let's move along.
All right.
Thought it was interesting that Tyler Flowers had such a terrible stat line, but I mean, was still top 10 in Major League Baseball in exit velocity. That's all. I mean, everyone talks a lot about exit velocity. I'm not sure it's the end-all, be-all of things. And I think Tyler Flowers being in the top 10 kind of shows that with his one home run. All right, last one.
And I'm answering a Little League home run derby question while we're doing this because the gentleman is very frustrated with me that I have not gotten back to him. So I'm writing, so sorry, big work day, doing baseball pod now. We'll have an answer. We'll have an answer within 15 minutes.
Wait, can we decide? Okay. What's the question? Can DVR and I decide the answer for you?
It's fine. I will respond.
DVR, what do you think? What is the Little League Home Run Derby? What could there possibly be an issue with?
He just needs names of the players.
Boring. I thought it was drama. All right, 6 players
no.
saw 1,100 or more pitches in 2020. One of these names, again, very interesting. Let's go. Six players.
DJ LeMahieu.
11. No, that was not. DJ LeMahieu was not on that list.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. A couple of these names were already mentioned in this show.
Tatis.
Trey Turner.
No Trey Turner. No Tatis. There were. Oh, this is an interesting one. I didn't notice this until just now.
How about Trout?
No Mike Trout. There
are really?
Mookie Betts.
Three guys from one team on here.
Oh, okay.
Jose Ramirez?
Mookie Betts.
Jose Ramirez is one of them.
On that same team?
Francisco Lindor?
I'm not going to give it away. Francisco Lindor is one of them.
He plays a ton. Okay. That's the,
and Carlos Santana.
Carlos Santana is the third.
Yeah, those guys, they all play a lot. Marcus Semien?
Marcus Semien is not one of them. I'll tell you, we have said two of these names already in the show.
Hmm. Will Myers.
Will Myers.
Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Freeman is not one of them. Freddie Freeman.
Acuna.
Acuna's not one of them.
Juan Soto.
Juan Soto's not one of them.
Yeah, it wouldn't be because he was injured.
One of the guys that we said has the same first and last initial. Mm. And I guess his name could be considered very futuristic. One of these guys has a hard to pronounce last name. Actually, that's not true at all. I just mess it up a lot. And one of these guys has a somewhat hard to pronounce first name that we've learned on today's show.
Kevin Biggio.
Yes. Okay, that's the one who I thought was kind of weird.
He walks a lot, though. So, yeah, I could see him being a guy that just works the count a lot.
But to have to see the fourth most pitches?
Played a ton, too, though, right?
Yeah, played a ton.
Patient guys that play every single day is sort of the type.
Well, how about this, DVR? Is that predictive or descriptive? Does it say that Kevin Biggio is an elite company? Like, with these names of just taking a ton of pitches at this young of an age? I mean, we talk about Bo Bichette, we talk about Vlad Jr. We don't really spend a lot of time on Biggio.
He's a little overshadowed.
Yeah. But I mean, he's in this company of three guys you've guessed and then two people who you haven't who are below him.
I think it's descriptive.
All right. I like to say predictive.
A fight for a future day.
Yeah. Yeah, we're almost out of time here.
Yeah. I'm stumped on the other ones, even though we've already said the names, apparently. I'm surprised Trey Turner's not one of them.
Well, one of these is a name that you haven't said yet. One is a Los Angeles Dodger. The other one is a Milwaukee Brewer.
Corey Seager.
No.
Christian Yelich.
Yes.
Oh, Yelich sees a lot of pitches, follows a lot of pitches off, too.
I'll just tell you the last one, because we got to finish the show. It's Max Muncy.
Oh, yeah.
Muncy.
That's a nice one.
That's a good one. Right.
And Bryce Harper did not make that list?
Bryce Harper did not make that list.
Huh, interesting.
I can go consult the leaderboard and see, but I don't even remember where I found that one. So you guys are on your own.
Kudos to Ian. He got the win.
Ian did not get the win. Ian's been suspended for 2 years from this game.
Yes, that's correct. I take the loss. DVR gets the win.
The cheating scandal that rocked under the radar.
That's right. made the Astros, Yankees, and Red Sox all call it on themselves in the exact same way.
Yeah.
That's how it should be done. That's how you do it.
All right, that's the show. We gots to go. We've gone over the hour, and DVR's got other stuff to do and better shows. For the man who may or may not have just raised an extra $50 for cancer research.
It's not my fault that the Jets released Le'Veon Bell at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday.
It's pretty crazy, right?
Jerks.
For the man who's stirring the pot with the Little League Home Run Derby, we cannot wait to hear off-air what this is all about. Ian Kahn.
Le'Veon Bell plays for the Jets now?
Winnipeg Jets. Congratulations. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back with more Under the Radar, the Halloween edition, next week. Bye.
No, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Good talk. Good talk.